Sorry.
Yeah, Blue and On is definitely throwing. No, it's fine, Stephanie. But I would say there's definitely a lot of Blue and On throwing around crap too about this right now. So it's yeah,
yeah.
It's like everybody's like. Go on.
Oh, I'm just seeing people say that, like kind of from every side in a really hilarious way, like that, like Charlie started to break with Trump on either Israel or Epstein. It depends who's talking, but like I can't imagine anything further from the truth. Like the man is like. Oh, am I delayed? Is that why everybody's like not hearing me right away? Sorry, listeners.
I guess so. Yeah.
I had to do my phone today because I'm getting like CIA zapped and my whole house's internet has just been bad all day. So I'm on my phone.
Yeah.
I'll raise my hand when I want to say something. I forgot what I was talking about.
I'm sorry I derailed you. I'm a monster.
No, it's good to know that I am lagged.
The one thing I was going to bring up is that the conspiracy theories around this have become so vast and so overwhelming. It's now just talking about the actual shooting isn't enough for people. Now everyone's talking about the security that was around Kirk and the hand gestures they were making right before he got shot. And like, were they like sending a message? Were they telling the shooter to pull the trigger? As people have pointed out, the two guys that are being accused of this are in Kirk's security detail. The two men have been spotted at other rallies around Kirk. So these guys are not people that are trying to kill their meal ticket because they're security that Charlie's hired for multiple events. And what I'm assuming they were doing is they were making these hand gestures because they were communicating to other security guards about things like crowds in the area, because Charlie is outdoors and he's talking to a group of people, but there are still like more people milling around the campus and walking around the pathways. And all Charlie's done is like put up a tent alongside one of these pathways, put up a couple speakers, grabbed a microphone, and just yelled, "Debate me, bro," at people that are in his general vicinity. So I can totally see. You're a security guard. You see 50 people walking this way down a pathway. You give a hand sign to other security guards. Yo, like eyes on those new 50 people. We need to make sure they're cool. Stuff like that. Because this isn't like an outdoor concert where you just have like the crowd watching the band. This is an area where you're going to have like moving parts. You're going to have like the main crowd around Charlie Kirk, but you're also going to have lots of students that are just going from class to class, and those people are milling about and walking down pathways, and you want to get eyes on every new group to make sure that the new group isn't going to pull shit or do something, or like, because you have to be on edge when you're Charlie Kirk on a college campus, because they're going to be like, shit can happen.
And also like, Kirk basically sets up for, like, he does his whole live, he does a live stream every single day, basically in his fucking basement, you know, his studio. But when he does these Ask Me Anythings, he basically sits in one spot and sits there for, like, 4 or 5 hours, and people are supposed to go up and ask him questions. So, like, yeah, he's a sitting duck, and he is not a political figure. The security team he has, Turning Point has their own security team. So they like try, it's like a religious fucking based security team. But yeah, so like that's why you see the same guys a lot. But yeah, and like there was protesters he was basically in this part of the school that's kind of like, it goes down a bit, and he was right in the, like right in the center, like right as it ends and kind of all comes down in the bottom. And like above him was another level where there was protesters holding signs. Like there was people wandering around streaming because like these events for Zoomers are kind of like content all around. Like I said, there was like a big liberal.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people posting like here's a college student owning Charlie Kirk.
But I can't read a map to save my life. I even have trouble with like geocaching with a GPS and stuff, but like, and I have no military background. Okay. So I'm an idiot, but what you're describing is him being in a bucket, basically. That's like, shouldn't his security team, like the people tasked with security, which I know nothing about. Okay. I know what ingress and egress is because I watch Archer. So, like, it's like, even I know if you are a person and you have to always assume in any security situation, I even know this, you are always a target. You have to assume that. That's what the Secret Service works under the premise of, you know, that's how security works. So, with that mindset, I don't want to be down low. I want to be up at a higher point where it would be, you would have to aim upwards for me. You don't want someone to have a straight shot or a downward shot. That's too easy.
I don't think they cared about snipers. I don't think a sniper was anywhere in their frame of reference as a thing that could happen. They wanted Kirk where they had him because that is where you can get a crowd to get an audience to get questions asked. You can get content farmed. Like what the security is there for is a liberal like freaking out and screaming at him or maybe like throwing a bottle or doing something like that. When he got shot, no one, like my reaction was, oh yeah, that was a thing that I totally thought would happen. Like Charlie Kirk is really a small potatoes. That guy, I can't imagine that someone had it in their heart to have enough like rage in this world to be like, you know who I'm going to kill today? Charlie Kirk. Like that guy, that D-list podcaster, streamer, Turning Point USA jamoke. That's the guy I want to claim the life of. I mean, I just don't imagine that the security in a million years would have thought to themselves that this was going to be like a sniper attack. Go ahead, Haley.
Also, I've been to like a countless number of Turning Point events and like they are pretty just not, like I said, he's not the president. Like what they get more secure when like Trump shows up to an event or JD Vance, but like when it's just kind of like the Arizona kind of based group, like just Charlie or Tyler Boyer, like, yeah, you can like walk up to him. Like he's not the president. So yeah, I think it's just not a safe event for the situation. It was just like a perfectly bad of like layout for, it was basically like an audit, like not an auditorium, like an amphitheater kind of, but like going down. And yeah, he was just at the base of it, literally like a bowl, like you said. But yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steph.
I just want to add, when I was watching the Utah news coverage yesterday, they did the press conference, and shout out to my Twitch stream co-host Shelby for sending me the link because I would never know how to find this myself. So I'm watching it. They do the press conference, and I was kind of shocked to hear one of the questions from a reporter. I don't know who the reporter was. I don't know what the publication was, but you know, it wasn't, as far as I know, I don't think it was like an InfoWars type outlet or anything, but I heard a reporter who sounded very professional, a female. She asks the two men who were asking him the question about the gun violence right before he was shot, have they been detained yet? So to me, in that reporter's mind, she thinks that them asking that question had something to do with the event, Like, that was kind of a conspiratorial question.
And also, I just want to say, that, like, right-wingers are currently trying to dox basically anyone that they think is sus. It's like the modern day, like, everybody picking out people in the crowd at the JFK, event, but when he got assassinated, but they're, like, picking out people that they feel is a little bit sus, and, like, why is this guy doing this? We're doxing him. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, that I was going to bring that up was that I think that these security guards, give with all these hand signs, are just a modern day version of the Umbrella Man from the Kennedy assassination. If you don't know this, then I don't know how. Then you have not listened to me long enough, because boy, howdy, do I talk about this sort of nonsense. But basically, Umbrella Man was a dude that was in the crowd at Dealey Plaza, and it was very sunny that day, and in the 1960s, people did not use umbrellas for shade in the summer, even though it was November. But it was hot, and this one guy is hanging out with an umbrella, and people took photos of that, and they thought it was really weird. And then it became part of conspiracy lore that this guy was using the umbrella to signal to people that more shots were needed to kill the president, or that he used the umbrella to fire a paralyzing dart into Kennedy's throat, which is why Kennedy didn't move after getting hit in the neck and thusly was prey to being shot in the head. And then in the House Select Committee on Assassinations, a guy came forward and said he was Umbrella Man. He brought the umbrella there because the umbrella was the symbol of Neville Chamberlain, the guy that gave the Sudetenland to Hitler and the appeasement. And the guy wanted to call Kennedy an appeaser by waving like a Chamberlain umbrella at him as Kennedy's limo passed him. And then oopsie-doopsies, the president gets killed right in front of him. And I'll finish real quick here. He stated, if the Guinness Book of World Records had doing the worst thing at the worst possible time, I would be in first place and no one would be in close second. So that is the actual story of Umbrella Man. Go ahead, everyone, because you all had your hands up.
I was just going to say really quick, like, that they worked that into the TV series on Netflix, Umbrella Academy, where the father that takes in all these like superhero X-Men type children and stuff. He was the Umbrella Man, and there was a hidden gun in the umbrella.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Umbrella Man's a big part of conspiracy lore.
Yeah, but he didn't need to shoot him because Cigarette Smoking Man was already on the job in the storm drain. Yeah.
Yes. Hell yeah, storm drain. The deep cut. I love it.
Yeah. I always got to make the X-Files reference because I just love how they said not only did he assassinate Kennedy, he also assassinated Martin Luther King, because, you know, why the hell not?
Oh, of course, of course. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I just want to say also, like, that, like, people were wrongly arrested. They appeared to have arrested a conservative guy because he was, like, brown. And they've already, like, released two people. Because this is what you get when you put a QAnon person in charge of the FBI.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the grandpa who was the first person that was arrested, the old white guy that people saw getting dragged away, apparently he was known as like a local nuisance. And people said that after the shooting, he was just like being a jerk. He was like, I did it. I killed him. And the police grabbed him. Because he was being stupid and causing a scene. And then after they grabbed him, they realized, oh, wait, this is Grandpa, the dumb local who does shit like this. Get the fuck out of here, you idiot piece of shit. And then they had, and then Cash Patel, and everyone was like, we got the suspect, everybody. And then like an hour later, they're like, we have released this person because they didn't do it. Our biscuit. And that was the conservative that Haley mentioned who apparently works for Heritage. and again was just grabbed because he's swarthy. So great job, detectives at the FBI, for just grabbing the closest brown person and calling him the shooter.
I do
got to
say, though, one thing I do got to give Cash Patel props for is that when he said they released the guy, he did it as a quote tweet to his original comment about nabbing the guy. It's like, okay, well, at least you admit you screwed up. You're not sweeping this under the rug. You're like, okay, yeah, I said we caught him and I was wrong. That's why pencils have erasers, folks.
That's what he wants you to think. That's what he wants you to think. He wants you to think.
if
he wants me to think he's reasonable.
If Cash Patel said that's why pencils have erasers, I'd be like, wow, I've misjudged this man ever so slightly. I thought he was like 99% terrible. I'm gonna pull him down to like 93% terrible. That'd be like way too reasonable of a statement. Oh my god. Yeah. So the other conspiracy that I've seen, because the security guards doing hand signs, that's not enough. The big one is that the whole thing was faked. Because if you're going to make a swing, go for a home run. Don't just hit a tapper into the middle of the infield. Let's put it in the upper deck. Let's knock it on the Lansdowne Street at Fenway.
Yeah.
And these lunatics state that like they saw Kirk make a move right before he got shot. The blood didn't flow from his neck quickly enough. Like he had like a contraption in his body to like make it look like the blood was coming out.
Yeah, which congratulations on hiding on his neck a device squibs. Capable of holding a gallon of blood.
Yeah, a squib capable of holding that much. That would be
yeah.
And let me tell you something. I got to watch an embalming class, and this dude was dead that they had, but they put the aperture in his carotid wrong, and a little blood just started going squeak, squeak, squeak. And I was like, oh my God, that like weirded me out for some reason, but like that spray, that's absolutely real. And I knew when I saw the graphic close up, and in my brain, I'm like, on a scale of 1 to Bud Dwyer, this is about an 8. And I'm like, yeah, he's not going to make it. And if you've seen the Bud Dwyer video, you probably shouldn't, but it's like red water pouring from his face. It doesn't look real. It doesn't, when people are bleeding out through a traumatic terminal injury, it doesn't look real because there's so much of it. And that everybody's so used to movies. And unless you're talking about like Dead Alive or Ichi the Killer, no, the blood that's being shown isn't very accurate. And, I've seen real footage other than Charlie Kirk, the Bud Dwyer video. Doesn't look real. That's how it looks. That was absolutely real. What happened to Charlie Kirk?
But and then there was also Charlie was wearing what's called like a hinge ring, and that ring can like you can like flip it, you can unhook it, and stuff like that. Because people were pointing out that the ring was on one finger, and then after he got shot, it was on a different finger. But people actually have solved that question, and it was just that the hinge was open, so it made it look like the ring was on a different finger. And
I saw one guy saying that the blood wasn't sticking to his shirt. Which I mean, what would that even indicate? even if that was real, I mean, is there some kind of fake blood that is repelled by cotton? I don't get what that guy was hinting at.
Yeah, and the best part about that is that you're basically saying that they screwed up and they used the wrong blood or the wrong shirt. Or you're going that extra mile to do the whole the Illuminati has to leave clues thing, where you're like, oh, look, the shirt isn't bloody enough. I've proved it. I caught you, Illuminati. You had to leave that little hint for me, and I, the decoder, unraveled it. It's just, oh, God, they're so tiresome. But that's the thing, is that we live in a post-reality world where you look at a piece of video, you come up with bullshit, you throw that bullshit as hard as you can at people, they buy into it, and now we're off and running. Now we're off to the races, just lying to people, being delusional, just insane. Just actually stark raving insane. It's madness. It's ridiculous.
So it looks like Trump will be attending the Kirk funeral here in Arizona. So the whole circus is coming to town, which is frustrating.
You lucky dog.
But also I want to talk a little bit about the people who are like, obviously like Ian Carroll types, Candace Owen types are alluding that Israel did it. And there is, it reminded me literally of the Kennedy assassination also in the fact that they, like, there's the conspiracies that he was like anti-Vietnam War, which is like, because he said a couple vague things that they bake into oblivion. And this seems to be what's going to happen to Charlie Kirk because they're taking like a few lines where he said something slightly like not like exactly on the line, and they're like he's breaking from Israel, and I can't explain how pro there. Okay, there's a term called anti-Semitic pro-Zionist, like an anti-Semitic Zionist, where it does apply to a lot of like American Christians who are deeply like they're anti-Semitic, but they basically promote the state of Israel. They believe in the like state of Israel, and support the state of Israel because it's part of their religious endgame, and like ultimately all Jews have to die for that goal anyway. So it's kind of anti-Semitic in my opinion in the long run anyway. But Charlie Kirk also like was like the school or like the Turning Point program, like their influencers were regularly sent to Israel as part of like a program with the state of Israel where the influencers basically did propaganda for the state and also the IDF. They literally just did one, and they were taking photos on like IDF tanks. You know how like Benjamin Netanyahu's been doing kind of like a podcast circuit right now in America? Like a lot of those people are Turning Point people, and like Netanyahu and a few other state officials with Israel literally like immediately honored Kirk, and they're going to name a highway after him. Like it's just so funny to try to paint him as pro-Israel, and it's like he does it as a way to also obviously wedge in like Palestinians don't exist and I want them to glass Gaza. But I just think this is just a very funny narrative that's building. Like couldn't be a more like Netanyahu ass kisser, but yeah.
Oh, and that, what's really funny is all these people are like Laura Loomer is like throwing herself on the ground and mourning the fallen Charlie Kirk. And she has a long tweet up where she's just like, Charlie Kirk is not pro-Trump. He's like pushing for the Epstein list and all of this stuff. And, he hung out with David Smith, who called for Trump to be impeached and removed over the attack on Israel's nuclear facilities.
No, death and equals now, redemption.
Oh yeah. Oh God. I've always said this. I mean, that's QAnon's greatest hero is Michael Jackson, who, if alive, would be
their greatest the enemy.
The most notorious pederast in the world. You make Epstein look like a piker.
Yeah. One thing I noticed that got me was, you know, I'm seeing this too about the, you know, the Jews targeted Charlie Kirk, and then I scroll down like two tweets, and someone talking about how these Jewish artists did 9/11. I'm like, okay, is there anything the Jews haven't done? Are they the reason I was late for work yesterday?
Oh, it's always them. It's always them. I mean,
since it's 9/11 and people like to blame 9/11 on the Jews, just for the record, and I'm using air quotes here, fun fact about 9/11, the first official victim first person dead, even before Flight 11 hit the North Tower at 8:46 a.m., was an Israeli man. He had dual citizenship in America and Israel. He had served in the IDF. His name was Daniel Lewin. So if the Jews did 9/11, then, hey, guess what? You know, I mean, just the absurdity of this bullshit.
They planted him there to look innocent.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, yeah. He was their sacrificial lamb. He did it.
Yeah.
Some people say he was one of the hijackers or whatever, but whatever, man.
I've seen people saying that, like, that Kirk was beholden to Israel and Israel sacrificed him to, like, make it look like they didn't do it, but they did do it. Yeah. So it never ends. It never ends. And there's no logic you can possibly use to ever make these people not believe what they want to believe, which is that the Jews are behind everything. And that's just the way their world works.
Yeah. It's, I always say, every conspiracy theory eventually leads to Jews or aliens. And these days it leans more heavily towards Jews.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, this sucks. QAnon's reaction has been that all liberals must be killed because they are responsible for this. It's great. It's truly awesome about everything. And, we're in a real dark place here. It's basically the best I can say about things. It's just, it's super shitty. And, at the start of this podcast, there had been some talk about a suspect in custody. I still see nothing about that now. The biggest thing that I've seen is, come on, Brady. They said that there were quote unquote arrows carved into the bullets and that they mistakenly thought those arrows meant trans. So they apologize. And people right now.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead with the bullets. Sorry. I just had a question about them then.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Who knows why they thought arrows equaled trans? Most people are questioning if it's Iron Front because, like, that is like it's the three arrows. There's like the standard logo for that, but we don't know. We have no idea.
I've heard different message things about some. There was something written on his rifle, and then some people were saying it was an anti-fascist statement. Other people are saying they're not sure what it means. What was written on his rifle?
Well,
has anyone heard anything about that?
These people are all false flaggers. So shouldn't your first assumption be, hey, those symbols aren't really what the person believed, you know?
Well, yeah, who knows? Who knows? Anyhow, yeah.
I'm sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. And my question about the bullets is, why would you, number one, I want to know if the bullets were fired, and because if they were fired, then chances are they would be unreadable. Otherwise,
these were found inside the rifle when it was abandoned. And everyone's arguing about why did he abandon the rifle where he abandoned it? Why didn't he keep it? Why didn't he leave? The FBI says he abandoned the rifle in the woods after he escaped. And people are wondering why he didn't just leave the rifle at the scene. Why did he not keep it the whole way? And everyone's going to ask a million questions.
I mean,
and until they catch this guy, we're not going to know shit about shit. And given that we have the rock solid Cash Patel and Dan Bongino handling this investigation, who knows if we're going to catch him or not? So,
and even if we do catch him, it's not necessarily going to answer anything because people still have questions about why James Earl Ray ditched the gun that he shot MLK with in the bushes outside the hotel. And he is still alive to answer those questions. And people still,
I think he's dead now, but yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, he lived a long time to answer those questions.
He was in jail for a long time.
And the thing I want people to remember really quickly is when a tragic event like 9/11 or like a shooting or assassination, when stuff like that happens, you have to understand that it's evolving. That, and I just listened to the ATC radio today on the scanner app from 9/11. There's confusion. There's always confusion. So the early reports are not going to be the right ones. And sometimes you have to wait a while to get all of the information keep that in mind, and also keep in mind that someone's doing an assassination, when someone's doing a mass shooting, we may not be able to place ourselves in our, in that mindset, and thank God for that. But you have to keep in mind that they themselves are in a different mindset. They're in an altered state. And I don't mean they're high or they're on drugs. They're in a fight or flight mode. There's shit going on with adrenaline, chemicals coursing through their body. All this weird shit is happening in their brain and in their body. They may not be thinking correctly. They may do something really stupid, like stand there, place the gun down, and then run away or something. You don't know. So we can't jump to conclusions, and we can't pick apart every detail. We're not detectives.
And neither is the FBI. So there you go.
Okay,
I'm going to call it here because we've almost gone 90 minutes, and I had other things to talk about, but forget all that. This was all Charlie Kirk. No, not you. It wasn't you. Gosh, why are you apologizing? You should apologize for attacking me during the One Happy Thing segment. Okay. But
I am very sorry about that. Surely. I'm not sorry.
Anyhow, thank you for listening to the show. Give the show a 5-star review wherever you listen to it. And tell your friends, be our street team. Help us out. Patreon.com/pokerpolitics. Give me money. That would be really awesome. I would enjoy that. If you don't want to do that, go to love146.org and donate to them to fight human trafficking, because that is a noble endeavor. Thanks to DJ Minimal Effort and Frosty for the bumps and the music that I accidentally remixed. Thanks to you all for listening, and never forget that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in the assassination of President Kennedy.